Jesus said, love your neighbour as yourself, not love the sinner. He was calling us to see each other as neighbours, as equal human beings.
Welcome to The Dismantle, creating community, not converts.
Hello and welcome to Dismantle Podcast, a place for community, not converts. I'm your host, Joey. On this show, we attempt to dismantle an issue that poses as problematic for the Christian church by having a discussion with a guest who has insight or experience with that subject. Now, if you're new to the show, we're not always going to agree, and that's okay, but we're not going to argue because our goal is to build bridges and not barriers. Our guest today is Lucy Davies. Lucy, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm excited we got to connect. Thank you for saying yes.
No, I'm excited too. I'm really looking forward to this conversation.
It's going to be a good one. But before we dive into it, Lucy, can you give our listeners a little bit about who you are and some of the work that you do?
Yeah. So my name is Lucy. I run the Instagram account, A Queer Search for Faith, which is exploring my faith as a lesbian Christian and also looking at how Christianity and religion impacts the LGBTQ plus community. So I make content about that, create community over my Instagram stories through polls and getting people to send in their experiences. And I'm a final year theology student, so graduating in a few weeks, which is really exciting.
Well, congratulations. And that's
Thank you
for sharing that. And it perfectly sets up some of the conversation we're going to happen today, which is centered around this phrase that I think we've heard a lot within Christianity. We've probably heard it in the news and in other spheres, but it's the phrase, love the sinner, hate the sin. Now, first off, Lucy, I think we need to clarify, is that verse actually in the Bible? And if it's not, where does it come from?
Surprisingly, it's not in the Bible. So I think because it's used so often within modern Christianity, I think both Christians and people outside of our faith have come to assume that it's a biblical phrase or that it has its origins within scripture. But that's just not the case. So it comes from St. Augustine. In one of his letters, he said a phrase which in Latin, which translates roughly to with love for mankind and hatred of sins. And so later on, Gandhi evolved that phrase in his autobiography, and he said kind of something along the lines of hate the sinner and not the sin. But he was actually critiquing that and saying that the use of that phrase is easy to understand, but it's rarely practiced. And that's why the poison of hatred spreads in the world. So actually, it's not biblical. It comes from St. Augustine and it's evolved, but it's even the use of the phrase that we know today has been critiqued. So yeah, it's not a biblical phrase.
All right, so we've established that it doesn't come from the Bible, but what does it actually mean? I've heard it historically aimed at the LGBTQ plus community. I've heard it whenever somebody's doing something that we don't necessarily like. Mm-hmm. But what are we actually saying when we use that phrase?
That is a great question. So it is used towards a lot of people. You're right that the primary group that I think most people see it used towards is the LGBTQ plus community. I think it's hard to say exactly what the phrase means, but the use of love the sinner, hate the sin is usually kind of an attempt to distance yourself from outright hatred. So it lets the person using the phrase gain a sort of upper hand in moral superiority by posing themselves as generous and loving, as if they're affording this person who is a sinner and has something about themselves that deserves to be hated, but they're still affording them a level of love. So it kind of comes to mean, I see you as a human being beyond what I perceive to be your sin. But to me, that's sort of a bare minimum, that we see other people as human beings deserving of a level of respect. So I think the phrase, although it has the word love in it, I don't think it often leaves people on the receiving end of the phrase feeling very loved at all.
Yeah, I would agree. And, you know, the intention, like you just so well put, is to distance ourselves without feeling like we get, for some reason, the image that's coming to mind is get the sin on us, so mm-hmm. to speak. We say that so that we're not complicit, I guess. But, you know, I don't think anybody really has taken apart those phrases, those words individually. Could we go word by word and sort of unpack what those terms really mean? So, you know, for instance, the first one, love. What are we saying as Christians, especially in this modern context, this modern day that we find ourselves in? What exactly are we promoting when we say love?
Mm-hmm. I think for me, it's really important here to remember that Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself, not love the sinner. He was calling us to see each other as neighbors, as equal human beings, and not to see each other as sinners or fixate on hating elements of other people that we don't agree with. As well, I get a lot of DMs from people asking me whether they're homophobic if they take the view of love the sinner, hate the sin. And I always say, oh, what does that look like for you? They usually come back with something kind of a bit vague, impersonal and slightly theological. And my next response is always like, no, how do you show that love? Like, what loving things do you do? What is this love for the sinner? And they're often speechless because no one's ever asked them that. They've never stopped to think about what kind of practical actions should be coming with this declaration of love. To love is a verb, and there has to be some kind of substance behind the sentiment, or it really is just words.
And unfortunately, when we use the word sinner, I think there's this implied otherness. You know, we would all say, yes, we're all sinners. Yes, we all fall short. But when we say love the sinner, like you had mentioned so brilliantly, there is this implied superiority. Is that what's being espoused when we say sinner in this context, when we from a Christian perspective are looking at other people and calling them sinner?
I think so, because, you know, like Christians love to say, like you just said, like, oh, we're all sinners. But if we're all sinners, why do you feel the need to call someone else directly a sinner because of their sexuality or their gender identity or something like that? If we're all sinners, why are you calling them a sinner, but only in that context and not yourself? It's, you're saying love the sinner, and not, that's almost as though they're an other, they're the sinner, but you're not. You're the loving one, the superior one. I think sinner is an interesting one too, because obviously I don't believe LGBTQ plus people are sinners just because of their gender or their sexuality. But I think even then, we don't decide who is a sinner. We're called to see each other as neighbours, really importantly. And so I think this level of judgment that comes from such a short phrase is better left to God than our fellow human being.
Which then goes to the other side of hate. You know, which again, we look within the Bible and we do, you know, we don't find this phrase, but we do find anyone who hates their brother hates me. Anyone who, you know, don't hate your brother. There's very clear language around the emotion of hate. Why do you think, or first of all, what do you think that we're actually saying when we say hate the sin? And why do you think that we go to that extreme?
I think you're absolutely right. Like you say, it's very clear in the Bible that to hate is not a Christian calling, and yet I think so many people believe that they're well within their right to hate people because they believe them to be committing something that they perceive to be a sin. But nowhere, even, you know, the worst people, we're not called to hate them. I think there's something within modern Christianity as well that there's this kind of like Christians seeing themselves as others who are like under attack from like the culture or secular society, and then so anyone who they perceive to be kind of like adhering to like maybe societal values, maybe believing like quite liberally about sexuality or gender identity, they see that almost as like a threat to their own Christian identity. And I think within that level then leads them to maybe like jump to hate. It's so hard to see why some people would feel that hatred is, you know, like permitted for Christians or like is within the Christian calling. I think that's a really complex one. I don't have a very good answer for it because I don't fully understand it.
Yeah, I'd agree. And I think a lot of people then jump to, you know, things like, well, Jesus never condoned sin, therefore we don't have to either. I've heard it recently within the example of the woman caught in adultery. Like, he didn't condone her sin or her actions, but he told her to go and sin no more. So, you know, when we're talking about sin, are we just talking about our genitalia? Like, it just seems that that's just a common thing that we love to pull out, but nobody's talking about gluttony. Nobody's talking about gossip. Nobody's talking about
greed. Yes, I think there are much more harmful things to fixate on than the gender of someone's partner or somebody else's gender, whether they're transgender or non-binary, whatever. I think that we need to be focusing on the sins that are causing harm to others or to something within God's creation, knowingly. And I think that sort of equating, I see on social media so often some people equating like homosexuality to like murder or something by saying like, oh, because someone has murderous tendencies, it doesn't mean that they should go on to murder, as though they're in any way equatable. That's really harmful. And I think the other telling thing in that story that you mentioned as well is, yes, Jesus said, go and sin no more, but he also didn't say that he hated the woman and he didn't condemn her. And I think the phrase, love the sinner, hate the sin, is quite condemning in a sense, and obviously gives off like a level of hatred and a level of harm and pain to the person on the receiving end, which, again, we don't see Jesus do that.
Right. So then, you know, again, this is very easy for you to answer, but what does love actually look like then? I've heard Ephesians 4:15 quoted, which is speak the truth in love, which usually just gives people permission to be assholes. But, you know, that's just out of context. And the passage is about unity, and the phrase has done nothing but divide us. So what does it actually mean and look like to love?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So if love is meant to be about unity, then it should be about listening, connection, creating community, striving for unity. And that's through action and like doing something towards that. So whether that's, so if we're talking about LGBTQ plus people as an example, maybe that's signing petitions to support their rights. Maybe that's volunteering with charities that work with young queer people. Maybe it's like cluing yourself up on pronouns and respecting people's partners. You know, becoming an ally to LGBTQ plus people is free and you can do it on your spare time. And also, I feel like some people believe that because they don't affirm people within Christianity or within their faith, that means that like they're completely exempt from like working towards kind of making society a safer place for LGBTQ people. But if you're still saying that you love them, then you should be doing something, some kind of substance behind that love. So if someone comes up to you and tells you that you're loved and hated in the same sentence, it's probably not going to do the trick. Someone has to feel the love that you've declared for them for it to have any meaning at all. So I think for me, if love looks like action, love looks like something physical, something visible that you can point out and say, okay, there's somebody is going out there and actually doing something. I could say that I love anyone all day long, but it doesn't mean anything unless I'm doing something to actively support them or back up what I claim.
Which then gets a little tricky because you as an individual are one thing, but maybe the church is different. That's an organization, that's a body, that's a movement. What would you recommend the church do as a first step to then put the love into action instead of just words alone?
Oh, that's such a good question. I think that the church should start seeing people beyond just their sexual orientation or their gender identity, because then sometimes that causes people to be perceived as a sort of an issue rather than just people or just Christians coming along to worship and share in their faith. So, of course, sexual orientation or gender is a really key part of who a person is, and it shouldn't be separated. But it also doesn't mean that that's all that a person is, or that stops their value within a Christian community, or it somehow impedes their relationship with God. So I think it's really important too that I think that's the first step for so many churches, is to just start seeing LGBTQ plus people as people separate from this sort of perceived issue of like a culture war between queer people and Christians, as though queer people are like putting Christian beliefs like at risk, or they're under threat because of like their mere existence. So yeah, starting to see them as valuable people that can contribute positively and transform their faith community.
And so just a follow-up to that, you know, if there is a problem with this phrase, if it's a little bit more complex than we'd like to think, what should we be saying? You know, obviously there's intention and there's motivation behind all of this, and it's difficult for sure. Nobody's saying that it's easy. But, you know, is there a phrase, is there a vernacular that we can develop to help better embody the sentiment without sending the mixed message?
Yeah, I think you're right that it is really challenging. It is really difficult. And so I think people are often too scared to say that they believe LGBTQ people aren't welcome in their faith community or shouldn't be affirmed, or, you know, their same-sex relationship celebrated, whatever it is. I think they're often too afraid to come out and say that directly. So it's quite easy for them to hide behind a phrase like love the sinner, hate the sin, even though it is quite meaningless words. I think if you're going to say anything, it will be direct. So what? Why do you feel the need to say the phrase in the first place? What are you trying to convey? Like, just say that. If you think like somebody needs to change their sexuality, just say it. Stop hiding behind words. And if you're scared to say it, then maybe you need to stop and think about why it's not appropriate to say, or why you're scared to say it, or why you think it might not sound loving. If you have to use a phrase to like to convey the same meaning but hide behind it, then maybe you need to just stop and think, okay, well, why is that meaning going to cause pain? Why would someone think that I would be conveying hatred? And I think just stopping to question, oh, am I saying this to ease my own conscience, my own benefit, or is it actually going to convey love and support to this person? Because if you what you want to do is show love and support, then, you know, start by doing that and, you know, asking people questions about what they need from you. I think the best place to find a new phrase would be to look to what Jesus has said. So maybe look to Mark 12:31, love your neighbor as yourself. So seeing someone as an equal, again, like loving your neighbor, not your sinner, the sinner, like loving your neighbor. Maybe just say that instead if that's what you mean.
Those are great thoughts, Lucy. Are there any resources that you found helpful as you've sort of navigated some of this, things that you would recommend to our listeners as they're trying to navigate this?
What a great question. Yes, I recommend to everybody Vicky Beeching's book, Undivided, because she tells her story of growing up in the Pentecostal, then evangelical church, and how painful it was for her trying to reconcile her sexuality, and then kind of the reactions from people in her community and her family after, and how she dealt with it. So I think she touches slightly on Love the Sinner, Hate the Sin too. So definitely a great place to start. Ooh, what else? Do you know what? A Book of Queer Prophets is a really good book. It's like a compilation of essays from people within the UK. Some people are like reverends or vicars, others are just kind of famous LGBTQ people. Some are religious, some aren't, and they just kind of contemplate on their place in faith and their experiences. That's one I definitely recommend. But also any of Rachel Held Evans' stuff. She's got some, I mean, all her books are amazing. But she touches a lot on like what love towards the LGBTQ people community actually looks like. Also God is Grey, her YouTube channel. Love it. Yes, all of those things.
Yeah, we'll throw all that in the show notes. How can people connect with you and with your Instagram page?
They can find me on Instagram at A Queer Search for Faith.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you so much, Lucy, for being on the show. I've really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it too.
And that wraps up today's episode of Dismantle Podcast. Until next time, don't complain about the things you're not willing to change.